The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Hi, guys. Welcome to this week's Two Teas in a Pod with myself, Teddy Mellencamp, and a special guest host, Megan King. Hi.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to Thirsty Thursdays.
Thank you. And I came thirsty.
Dehydrated. Cheers. And of course, cheers. I don't have it in a correct glass because I just had to grab something quickly and do it on the DL so it didn't look like I was grabbing a champagne glass at 11 a.m. In the morning.
Yeah, you got to stay. You know, it's one here, so it's more respectable.
I'm just going to, I'll pull it together before camp. And
it's 5 o'clock somewhere, though.
Yeah. You know what? It really is. Okay, so I figured I would start today. Well, normally we start with a housewife headlines and host chat, but I figured I just watch What Happens Live, so it's fresh in my mind. And Andy was playing a game with Caroline Stansberry and Brandy, and I realized, like, maybe something's wrong with me because some of these things I just do not enjoy sexually, and I figured I might as well ask you as well.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I missed it last night, so enlighten me.
Okay. Do you ever suck on your partner's toes?
So I know. The short answer.
Hold on.
No,
you paused.
I did. You know what? Never say never. I've had it done to me and it's nice.
Absolutely not.
Come on. Really?
Well, I mean, maybe done to me, but like my feet look like little troll feet and my husband has like hawk toenails. Like absolutely not.
Yeah,
I can't
leave his alone, but you know, if he was interested in that for you, you may as well try it. Why not?
I'll talk to him about it. I don't even like to share my socks with people. I'm very
we'll take a shower first and then try
hopefully I'm doing that regardless.
Bathtub. That's cute.
Oh, bathtub. I'm not even really a bathtub with other people person because there's all of, like, we have ourselves and like the bathtub is to like cleanse.
Okay. I'll keep that one for me.
Okay, fine. What about pegging? I just learned what that is. Do you know what
pegging?
It is?
No.
Pegging is where you attach a penis on and then you go for your partner from the back.
Oh, Like,
Caroline, I think, was a yes.
Are you gay? Are they, is pegging for like gay men?
No, or, pegging wait, is like a woman does it to a man to like have.
Oh my God. So one of my friends' boyfriend just recently asked her to do this and she was horrified, but I think it's a thing. Well, clearly there's a term for it.
Yeah. Pegging. It's like soaking in the LDS community, which I learned also, which yes. is like where you just yes, put I'm it familiar. In, but you don't pump.
You don't move.
Are you LDS originally?
No. But I had a nanny who was. So I read the Book of Mormon cover to cover so I could relate to her a little bit better. And so I know a lot about it. Even the pegging, or not the pegging, even the soaking. Yes.
Okay. I do appreciate that you are an investigator by nature. Right. I have the same qualities. And
go, girl.
I love it. I feel like we have another calling. You were excellent at it, which brings us to our mutual love of Vicki Gunvalson.
Oh, so you have that same level of love that I do?
Well, I never actually had a problem with her. I did the podcast with myself and Tam, and then she was a guest. And she kept like saying things, but I was trying to laugh them off because I'm like, whatever, she's just jealous. Tamara's her friend. It is what it is.
What was she saying?
She was just like, it should have been me, Tamara. Why did you do this? Like, why would you go on a podcast with Teddy? Mm-hmm. And then that, I just let the podcast go. I thought that was fine. And then she sent Tamara like a million texts afterwards, like pissed off about it. Then she called my boss, Amy, at iHeart and said that they should fire me and be replaced.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Vicki.
And then she went on with Bryce Sander and said that she didn't like me. So that's, I didn't really have a choice but to like go for it. But I've been doing a little research.
Okay.
And it appears that you guys had the same. I'm a newer watcher to all past Housewives, but.
Okay.
So she pegged, your issue started when she pegged your relationship to only last 5 years, correct?
No, the issue started when I asked her about Brooks's cancer.
Oh, that was first.
That was first. And then she went after me and personally.
Okay.
So when she went after me personally, that's when I knew I was onto something. That's when I knew I was getting to her because that, you know, that I had to be on the right path of this fake cancer. Cause I don't care if she comes after me personally. That's kind of her MO.
Right. Do you think you have any residual resentment towards Vicki because she said your marriage was going to end within 5 years and then it ended with like 4 years and one
day. Mm-hmm. No. It was 5 years. It was 5 years to the day. We went out for our anniversary dinner and the next day it ended. And to the day. That to me is, I mean, I got to give props to Vicki.
we can hate on her all we want, but she was right.
She was right.
Did you see that Tamara said she would want to bring you back to OC with her?
No, I didn't. But yay, that would be so fun.
Would you want to go back?
Yeah, I casted to go back 2 years ago. So, but I didn't get it. But like, I live in St. Louis, so it'd be difficult.
So how did it end? Like, we were both on 3 years. How did it end for you? Did you know in advance? Did you quit before?
I quit. So I took, Andy Cohen is from St. Louis. That's where I live. So it was like over Thanksgiving or something. I asked Andy to go to grab a drink. And I told him I was pregnant with twins and I just couldn't do the show anymore. And I was really upset. But so that was it. That was how I stopped doing it. But I mean, a lot of people say that I was fired, but I wasn't fired, but maybe I would have been fired. I don't know.
Okay. So it's unclear, but you actually said the words first. Because normally yes. people do the same thing. Like I decided to focus on my family, but in your case, you actually did it first.
I did it first. What did you do?
I got fired.
You did?
Yeah. I got fired and then I admitted it. That I got fired, which is a no-no.
And Tamara got fired and admitted it.
Yes, but she got demoted and admitted that, but then didn't take the demotion.
Right. Which is essentially like getting fired, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think, would you ever go back on as a friend of?
I think that I would prefer to go back on as a friend of.
Why? I would never, I don't want to. Really? No. No.
I don't know. It just seems more manageable for me. Like, you know, the time or the show is so time consuming.
But then you're getting paid less and the friends of always have to like really stir it. And then you always they feel do. Like you're less than.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I keep up with it enough. I would just do. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I would like that slow, like to like slowly ease my way back in, though. I like that idea of it because I feel like you can just have more fun that way.
So would you move back to OC or which franchise would you want to be on?
I would move back to OC. Which one would I want to be on? I had a lot of fun watching Beverly Hills. Did you have fun on it?
I did. After my first season, I did have fun. My first season, I was such a fish out of water that I felt a little bit lost. And we'll dig deep into Beverly Hills in a second, but I have to ask a couple more you questions. So when I put up on my Instagram, what questions do you have for Megan? Okay. You're going to hate me for this one. So just take
all
a
right,
sip.
All right.
Someone sent me Jim's wedding invite.
Okay.
I'm sorry. This is very cringe. And I have to say it because it says, ladies, be inspired by your favorite Bond girl. Gentlemen, black tie or a white coat like James.
Oh.
Thoughts. Have you seen this? Am I the first one to see
it? How did they have this?
Because people are like Uber. Somebody must have gotten sent the invite, but I mean, it's definitely, I mean, here
no
it is.
Way.
Yeah.
No. Did they put that on Instagram? Did Jim or his fiance put that on Instagram?
I don't know. I don't follow them, but somebody DM'd it to me.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. All right. I mean, everybody's got their different.
So is he James Bond?
Seems to be implied.
Oh my gosh. Okay. How is all of that going? Do you still talk to your stepkids or anything like that? Or is it just clean?
No, I don't talk to the stepkids. It's not that I don't talk to them. It's just, you know, it just kind of like faded away. But, and then the younger ones, you know, they're young now, they're teenagers. But as far as Jim goes, no, we don't talk. Except like.
So what do you do? Talking parents?
We have to use this app.
Do you go through the app? Talking parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Oh, it's called Our Family Wizard. So that's what we
use. I know that one too.
Yeah. We do. Yeah. we're the court told us about it. And I know a lot of people who use it.
I mean, it makes it better, especially if you're used to having like combative text messages back and forth.
Yeah.
This at least feels like you're being held accountable to whatever you say to the other person.
Yeah. And also like in this app, everything, you can see the time and date stamps on everything. And so like that's harder to track via text message if anything like in writing needs to be used in a court of law. So all of this is admissible into a court. So like kind of make sure that that both parties are on their best behavior or should at least.
What advice would you give anybody that is trying to be in a co-parent situation?
I don't know. I mean, my co-parenting situation is non-existent. So I would probably like, I don't even know. I'm the one that needs the advice.
Do you think he's a narcissist?
I mean, I think that like you could Google very quickly and give it about 5 minutes of like my relationship and make like anyone could kind of like make that decision for themselves.
So yes. You're like, I'm not. You're like, oh, hell.
Eddie?
All right. Well, so more positive things. I see that you're in a new relationship.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, but this one hasn't been all over the social media.
So it's so annoying, Teddy, because it's like, why do people care so much about my dating life all the time?
Because it's so juicy.
I mean, I guess so. But I'm just trying to date. And unfortunately, like, here and there, some like the press will pick something up. After my whirlwind like marriage and annulments, I told myself I'm done putting people in the public eye, putting people on my Instagram.
Well,
I'm done
I was with actually
that.
Done with the fact that I couldn't figure anything out. I went deep down the rabbit hole and like I couldn't get any information. And I'm good at getting information.
Yeah.
How did you guys keep that so buttoned up?
Well, I mean, it's not like a full relationship. It's just dating. And I like,
no, the past one.
Oh, the past one.
The one that like,
I don't know. I probably deleted posts or something.
You deleted posts, but then you never really talked about that breakup. And I was digging, trying to figure it out. And I was like,
it's embarrassing.
So that's why you didn't talk about it. You didn't sign anything.
I don't know. No. My word, like there, I'm allowed to say whatever I want to say whenever I want to say it. But like, I try to keep it classy and respectful.
Oh, well, then you came on the wrong show.
Okay. I'm going to need some more mimosas to talk about that kind of stuff.
But we all make, none of us are perfect. And you know, I think there's something about wanting to find that perfect person and then, you know, it not working out. And especially when you have kids involved and it can be really hard. So, but yeah. You're happy right now.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I'm effectively single right now. Yes, I'm dating, but like,
hold on.
I'm
what is single. Effectively single? That I mean, I
like,
need
I'm
to.
I'm dating, but I don't call myself in a relationship. I'm dating.
You're not in a committed relationship to one person,
right? That's yes. That's okay. What dating is.
Well, I don't know. I could see a little right? Glimmer in your eye, but I don't know. I haven't dated in decades.
No. Okay, so it's fun, but. It's also, I mean, it's so energetically time consuming, but yeah, no, I'm not dating anyone exclusively, but I'm dating people and that's that.
All right. Yes. Yeah. Well, I like it. I want to hear, I like yeah. Seeing your relationships on Instagram. I like following along. I mean, for perfect. Me, you know, it is what it is, but speaking of housewife mm-hmm. headlines, we should get into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. To what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy, yeah. Right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already yeah. See myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First, and we definitely do. Join us while our host Vico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if Chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita first as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ugh, the first one is really hard for me to talk about.
Okay.
Because I'm sure you've seen online, I get a lot of heat for anything in regarding Fox Force 5, which is the women on Beverly Hills. But the first one is Erica Jayne served with $50 million lawsuit upon returning from Lux Hawaii vacation, where she was with Lisa Rinna and Diana from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. If the detective Megan King was on this case, what has she gathered?
So I've picked up snippets here and there. So I haven't followed it super closely. And the reason why is because I don't hate Erica. Like, I had no reason to like Vicky. She was nasty to me from the get-go, and I had no loyalty to her. And plus, it wasn't about Vicky. But it was about her boyfriend. So, and I had no loyalty to him whatsoever. But I like Erica. And so I'm not going to be like, I'm not trying to take her down peripherally. But so I'm not digging. But from the outside, it seems as if she's playing like this damsel, who doesn't know a lot of things happening. And whether or not that's true, I don't know. She was indicted, so I think that they're trying to figure it out. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think in regards to finances, my husband and I are completely separate. My husband, when we got married, he had money and I didn't. I rode horses for a living. So we came in, I signed a prenup, and then, you know, I have a credit card that we used for the kids, but everything else has always been separate. And then as the years have gone on, I've accrued more money through the show, my business, the podcast, all of these things, which now is, you know, my money. If we want, we don't have like an our money type situation, which some people
could see that.
So I can see not knowing. Like, was that the same with Jim or?
Yes, it absolutely was. Yes. So I could see not knowing as well, but like, didn't she say how, you know, they were kind of one unit financially? Or am I just totally making
no, I think what she made clear was like she was kind of financially dependent on him. But if you're more of, I don't know if this phrase is still okay to use, but a kept woman, I don't know that you ask questions.
I agree. You know, so in that case, she probably had no idea. Or like you said, didn't ask questions.
And it's similar to like if somebody's, you know, if everybody else knows that somebody's husband's having an affair, but then all of a sudden the woman never brings it up, they never talk about it. It's like you just assume they either don't know or they don't want to know.
Right, right, right.
And
yeah, no, I completely agree. I think she's in a shitty position. And he seems to be like completely off his rocker too. So it's like he's going to die with all the secrets.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was hard seeing that. And people were like, can you believe she went on that trip and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, You know what? I don't even know Diana. And if she invited me on a trip to stay at her amazing Lux house, I probably would say yes. And I don't even enjoy watching her on the show.
I mean, I think Diana seems like she's made of money. So she probably financed the whole thing anyway.
Right. So of
course. Can assume that. Yeah.
The next headline is Lisa Vanderpump calls Garcelle Bouvet's son, Oliver, a gift for the great job he's doing at her Vegas restaurant. Okay, so great. More power to them. I hope their relationship thrives. Candy Burris reveals what was edited from Kenya and Marlo's fight. This is on Reality T, so I don't know how much we can fully know one is like a doozy.
Grain of salt, right.
On the July 24th episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta, Kenya Moore and Marlo Hampton started off their vacation with a dramatic fight before the vehicles even left the driveway. During the argument, Kenya shaded Marlo for kicking her nephews out of the house. Marlo then suggested that Kenya shouldn't come on the trip. On Candy Burris' Speak on It, the artist spoke with Fatoum, who both were present during the fight, and revealed that much of it was edited out. It was a lot more than what you guys saw, said Candy. The argument that they had was so crazy. They were so disrespectful. At some point, the stuff were, you know, I mean, essentially, Candy's just spilling the tea on how bad the fight really was. And I think sometimes when fights get too dirty on Housewives, they're either going to edit it to really screw somebody, or they're going to not show a lot of it because they have to protect themselves.
I mean, I know that I was involved in a nasty fight with Vicky on at least one occasion that was totally edited down. And it wasn't edited like per my side or her side, but a ton of it was taken out. So I get what Candy's saying there.
And how much watching it back when you had the stuff with Vicky and Brooks and all of that, when you watch it back, do you have any regrets?
I mean, yeah, kind of. I think watching it back is cringy in general, like kind of to watch myself like be me on TV or whatever. But the way that I dealt with the Brooks stuff and finding out the cancer scam, no, I don't have any regrets. I thought it was really shitty what he did. And what my theory is that he was going to go on TV and do this whole juice diet, vitamin diet. And then all of a sudden, voila, be cancer free. And then talk to everybody on national television about how he got cancer free from some vitamins and juice that he had an interest in. That was my theory. Yes. And so that's why I wanted to find him out, so that he didn't like promote this bullshit.
Who would you say out of Orange County cast were you closest with? Like, who is somebody that you would consider a true friend?
Tamara, for sure. Heather, and I really like Bronwyn, but I was never on the show with her.
But you've hung out with her.
Yeah. And I'm getting my boobs done in a month or so in Orange County, and Kelly invited me to stay at her house to recover.
Ooh. So are you going to do it?
I think I'm going to stay with Tamara.
I was like, why don't you stay with Tamara and then you can be a friend of for a little bit on the show? That sounds like a better
situation. Yeah, I had no idea she was on the show and that it, like she had invited me to stay at her house and I accepted.
Who's doing your boobs?
Dr. Nicole at Cosmeticare.
Perfect. Well, you're going to like them. Mine are about 7 years old. I thoroughly enjoy them.
Mine are 10. Almost 11. Yeah.
Yeah. So your yours are getting expired. All right. Let's take a little break. We'll come back and we'll start discussing Beverly Hills.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host, Vico Ortiz, and our abuelita, Liliana Montenegro, play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we are back to talk about Beverly Hills. Are you fully caught up?
I'm fully caught up, yes.
Okay. So the episode starts off with Erica saying that Crystal can't eat the chicken finger. And then you see Crystal get uncomfortable and kind of pull away.
Right.
How do you feel about this whole thing? Like, do you think that Erica's being malicious? I personally think she's
No, I don't think she's, malicious. Do you?
I think she's struggling.
She's struggling. She's crying for help. I mean, she doesn't want to go home. She wants to just keep drinking.
Yeah.
Like, I know how that feels.
And I think that she, what I don't necessarily appreciate, which here's the thing. Yes, there are points where even Erica admits in, you know, in scene with Garcelle, in her confessional, she was reckless. She was out of control. All of those things. She ends up hitting her head. It becomes a lot. Mm-hmm. But that Garcelle continuously will talk poorly in the confessionals, but then kind of be nice to somebody's face. Like it's
I feel, I don't know. I mean, I feel like a lot of people do that in general though.
But I wish this Garcelle showed up when I was filming, because season with Garcelle, she was crying because she just wanted women to empower women.
No, that's not happening.
That, I mean, every chance she gets in a confessional, she's going to throw shade. And to me, the entire
heat.
Yeah. To me, the entire Asher singing situation was completely, completely cringe. It was giving me like flashbacks of like David Foster when he told everybody they couldn't sing and they couldn't talk. And I don't think Asher's going to be asking to do a duet with Erica anytime soon. But why didn't any of the women say to her then,
stop singing?
Like, pull her aside, take her
away.
That's
what I was wondering. Like, stop, just don't make it so cringy for your friend. Like, just tap her on the shoulder real sweetly and just say, shh. That's it. Just shh.
Yeah. I mean, or, like, Kyle said she shushed, and I'm like, they didn't show it. I didn't see it.
No.
I didn't see any shush. And then, but what Brandy said on Watch What Happens Live last night, which I think Brandy's hilarious. I don't know your take on her, but
I can't figure her out, but I think she's funny for sure. Yeah,
she's good television. She's explosive. Yeah. She's off the cuff. But she goes, thank God Erica was drunk on at the party or else it would have been a total bore.
That's a good point. She has a point. I mean, at least Erica's partying this season. It's so interesting. It's like, it's the whole party, or it's the whole storyline this whole season.
Like, they need it, or else what are they going to talk about? I mean, Kathy walks in.
I am here for it too. She is like letting go, and Kyle is applauding her as well. Kyle says, hey, look, she's been buttoned up for 7 years. If she wants to let her hair down and let loose, I'm here for it. Like, yeah, she's going through a hard time, but give her a freaking break. And I like it. It's good TV. She's freaking hilarious. She's not mean. If she says something that's offensive, she's willing to take responsibility. And she's being honest. I mean, she's honestly talking about how much she's drinking, that she wants to have a drink, that she's taking medications, that she's going through a hard time, that she wants to have sex with so-and-so or so-and-so. I mean, how, you might not like it, but you have to respect it.
It's better to me, granted, nobody wants to see anybody truthfully struggling. And I think that we are seeing that. We're seeing a completely different side to her because she's not, you know, so controlled and, you know, manufactured in a certain way and wanting to give off this persona. But you can see when she even talks to Kathy and she's kind of slurring and saying, I didn't want to bring my shame to Paris's wedding. And
that was sad.
It was sad. And then it's not even fully making sense when she's saying that Amelia is the reason she has decided to go
to
for
take
her mental
control of her mental health.
I mean, all of it. It's not great. I also didn't think it was great when Kathy first walks into Diana's, she says to Cherie, oh, we met before. And she already knew her face, like basically saying that she just, you know, she recognized her and they were friends. And Cherie's like, no, you don't know me.
Yeah. Right.
And then they flash back to her doing the same thing to Garcelle. I feel like they're setting something up here.
Yeah,
last season, she said to Garcelle, I thought you were Kyle.
Kyle?
Yeah, I know. What? And then now she's posting on, like, she's saying she needs her readers. Like, it's something is coming with all that. And then we get to Kathy saying, you know, thankfully you let me know, Erica, so it would have been really bad. But I don't know about you. I'm not somebody who actually gets upset for people not showing up to events when they can't, if they're physically not capable, if they have issues. Like, I'd rather, if you don't want to be there, don't be there.
Right. Right. I don't care. And I don't think Kathy cares.
No, Kathy just said, luckily you did. Kathy seems to be very by the book. Like, thankfully you RSVP'd that you weren't coming, or else it would have been disrespectful. And I'm like,
so I think Kathy just wants to have a good time. I think she's just like, you don't think so? I don't know. I think she just wants everybody, like, everything's a party, everything's an occasion. She just wanted to have a good time.
I think Kathy wants to put on a good TV show. I think Kathy wants give an impression of being a good time.
Oh, is she a good time? She seems like it.
my champagne.
All right. Point taken. I see.
It's one of those things. Like, to me, you're either, it's fine. She can be a good time. Like, she can be a prankster. She can be all of these things, but she's definitely not a laid back good time that she's pretending.
Oh, she's not.
No.
Oh.
No, she's not a hunky dory type. She's not a hunky dory type.
Uh-huh.
She's a very manufactured good time.
Really? Well, yes. She does a good job at manufacturing.
I agree. Then you see a little bit of like sibling rivalry where Kathy hides Kyle's purse. Mm-hmm. Like you see all that kind of happening.
That's the prankster.
And then we get into the portion where they're back to talking about Erica's drinking. And Kyle says that she's sensitive with drinking labels because mm-hmm. of Kim.
Yep.
And that Garcelle is baiting her. Do you think that Garcelle's baiting her?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if she's doing it on purpose or not. You know, like Kyle has a whole lot of baggage and history here with, you know, drinking issues and how she's experienced it within her family and who knows where else, but that's all we know at least. And I can appreciate that you're like, whoa, hold on a second. First of all, you don't know if what you're saying is actually true and it will be hurtful. And second of all, like you don't know, we shouldn't talk about this behind her back kind of thing. Like, if you're so concerned, let's chat with her.
Pull her out and let's have a conversation, yeah. Which I think people, well, at least like from my social media, people are like going in, like, why would you protect your friend and blah, blah. And I never really understand that. To me as a human being, I'm going to protect my friends no matter what. Like same, you know, with now Tamara or you or whomever it is that I build a relationship with, if somebody's kind to me and a good person and we have fun together, there's going to be a level of protection that I'm going to do. It doesn't mean that I'm being biased, but it means I don't need to kick them when they're down.
That's the one, something about Kyle that I think is easy to see because she's had two sisters on the show and you can see how she protects and loves her sisters. And you know, just like every family has skeletons, that there's shit that goes on behind closed doors, but at least she has her family's back. And I love that. I come from a big family and I love my siblings, we're close. And so I see a lot of myself in relation to that with Kyle. And so to extend that to your friends, that's just your chosen family anyways. And so when you're protecting your friends, like obviously, because that's what you do.
Yeah, like this isn't shocking to me. This is what you do when you care about somebody. Okay, then we get to the part where I actually thought this was probably Dorit's best scene in the history of Housewives. Okay. Her conversation with PK about the DUI.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't believe it. She was so honest.
Like, it felt so honest. I mean, granted, there was a part of me who, and I love PK. This isn't me, but like, I was like, yes, it was that one glass of wine that accidentally got filled up 2 to 3 times. Like, but
0.081, he said.
Yeah. I mean, I think that conversation, she was pissed, and that was an authentic conversation that you have with your spouse. Like, he was trying to get away with shit. She wasn't trying to protect him. Normally I feel like when they have conversations, she's trying to protect him from putting his foot in his mouth. And this time she didn't. And I enjoyed it.
The Dorit points for me just went through the roof when I saw that interaction between the two of them, because that was a raw interaction. That's not easy to do in front of a camera. And I just give her so many kudos.
I know. I thought the same thing. And she didn't back down. She's like, a white light, like a big light. It doesn't matter. And you could tell he was like, ugh. And he had to.
Yeah, I know.
But to me, that was relatable. And it really truthfully was a good reminder. Like, don't drink and drive. Long and short of it. And also, don't lie to your significant other. And then it proves to another point when Kyle says that Mo knew about it and didn't tell Kyle. And then that pissed off Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and so my question is, what is the line? Like, if your husband or your significant other is friends with somebody else, do they then have to tell their wife?
Gosh, that's going to take me a minute. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, Andy asked also something on Watch What Happens Live about passwords. And Kyle also talked about Find My Friends this week.
Yes, she did.
I personally, because there are moments that I just feel insecure by nature, I think because of the way I grew up and the way that my life has been and the history of my parents getting a divorce, like there are moments where I really will feel insecure, but I don't ever do anything behind Edwin's back. But I will say, hey, can I just look at your phone for a second? I'm feeling insecure. Or like, we have Find My Friend.
For
like
you.
There are moments, but I've never been the person that wakes up in the middle of the night, goes to that side of the bed, checks the phone. Like, but I will be straightforward where I'm like, this is more about me and my history, but I'm having a moment. And if my husband wasn't willing to turn that over, I would have issue.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm different than you, shockingly so, considering my history with my public history with infidelity from my ex, but I just trust like implicitly. And so I'm not somebody that's like, oh, let me see your phone or whatever. But when I'm done, I'm done. And that's, I guess, the difference. Like you screw me over, I'm done. And so with like the whole Mauricio not telling Kyle, I mean, I would, if I were Kyle, I'd be mad about that, but I can't blame Mauricio either. Now, PK and Dorit, that's a different story. Yeah, I'd be pissed at PK. But like, that's kind of a game of telephone if he did, you know, for Mauricio.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I would want my husband to tell me, but I would also understand that he didn't because he's keeping his word to his friend, at which he didn't get the DUI himself. Had he gotten it himself and not told Kyle, we're in a bigger issue.
Totally.
Okay, then we get to Sutton.
Yes.
Which PK had COVID, which is why Dorit wasn't at the event. Then they talk about Sutton. Sutton also has COVID. It's going to be a Christmas alone, which they kind of all talk about. But then she goes on a date. And I just need to ask you this, Megan, and I'm not trying to be an asshole, or maybe I am. But have you ever worn a cat sweater on a date?
I was wondering the same thing. I feel like, and then talk about your neuropathy. Like
what? And itch your foot?
And just stop. Don't
do it. Go to the bathroom.
Like pick up a napkin that you accidentally dropped and itch your foot while you're doing that. Like figure it out. She's sabotaging the date.
Don't wear a cat sweater. I haven't dated forever. You're more qualified in dating, but like these are the things not to do. Like don't over talk about food. Don't over like don't be itching your foot and talk about your neuropathy. Don't wear a cat sweater because like there's just a thing. I personally don't love cats. Sorry if you have them, but like
I don't.
There is a stigma with like.
There's a stigma, cat lady. Oh, here comes the cat lady on my date. Can't wait. Who has neuropathy and like can't stop talking about her. Can't stop leaning over. I think Sutton subconsciously was sabotaging that date. I don't know.
I mean, would you have wanted to be on that date either? But also, would you be a man that would go on a date on Real Housewives?
I was wondering that too. So it was their third date, but there was a month in between date one and two. That's a long time.
He was willing to be FaceTime on camera. And then he was willing to, like my husband, I had to pretty much drag him to even film
nobody
with me.
Wants to be on the show.
Men that really want to be on the show, they end up pretending to have cancer or, you know, they're your husbands. But if you're just a random date.
You're thirsty. And
which I appreciate a touch of dehydration, but it was a
I mean, look, I'm thirsty too. Like I like I mean, in front of
we're
the
doing this podcast.
Call it. Like, right. Hello. Call it like it is. But like, I don't want my dates to be thirsty. I have enough thirst to quench, like that he's quenching for both of us.
And yeah, I agree. Then we get to do you believe the relationship between Sutton and Garcelle is that tight? Like then they get to where they're talking and they're talking about wanting to be better people. And
I don't know. I'm surprised by that duo. But I'm here for it. Like I wouldn't have put them together, but I like that they're together because I think Sutton is like in so many ways such an outlier that to have a strong personality like Garcelle, like unexpected like that, it keeps it interesting for me.
And then we kind of finish it off between Erica and Garcelle. And of course they have to have it where like Erica's like, I'll have a tea. And then she's like, but what about the cognac? I've never had a cognac in my life. I don't even know what that is. And then she talks about
it's like an old man drink.
Wasn't being, you know, she was tipsy, blah, blah, blah. She was blacked out. Oh shit. We forgot to talk about something.
What?
Brenna going to Erica's house and calling her out.
When was that? What happened?
That was when Erica was sitting at her house with Mikey and Brenna came over and said, you're out of control, and pretty much calls her out on all the things everybody's been saying behind Erica's back.
Right. Okay.
Which you appreciate because of course they pan to Crystal saying, I don't want friends to be, you know, pacifying me. I want to be called out and all of these things. You want to be called out for bad behavior. You don't want to be called an alcoholic.
No.
Like I'm somebody who, if I have bad behavior, call me on it, but I don't need to be labeled as something that has happened 3 times on a television show in 8 years.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Okay. So I can't figure Rena out. And one of my good friends.
Away. I'll give you any info.
One of my good friends casted to be on Beverly Hills. And she was rejected in favor of Erica. That was the season Erica joined. Her name's Ira DeWitt. And she splits time between St. Louis and Hollywood. Or now
I know her. She's the dog lady.
You know Ira?
I don't know her. She's like always adopts dogs.
And she loves she has the line Saint, the candles.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, I know she's good friends with Rinna. But like, because Erica got the job over her that year, I mean, obviously she's like, Erica kind of thing, or was at least. We haven't talked about it in years, but like, okay, so that's kind of aside, but I can't figure out Rinna. Like, is she just, you know who she reminds me of on TV is Heather Dubrow.
No. Okay. I don't
really
no. So the difference would, okay. Here's what I will say this. I had a birthday party last year for my 40th birthday. I've had the same friends for, you know, 30 years. Like they've been either from my mommy and me.
On your Instagram.
Yeah. Like I have the same friends, but Rinna came and she and Harry were the couple that everybody was like, they are so cool. They're so down to earth. They're so fun. Rinna never put a lick of makeup on, like connected with every single one of my friends from high school, from mommy and me. Like she makes the effort.
Okay.
I think what Rinna's biggest issue is she can't be controlled. Like in the world of Bravo and all of that, like if she gets pissed, she's going to go off the handle. And if she thinks that she's right, which I can be a know-it-all as well. And I think with all due respect, so
I feel you.
she can't see the other side of things sometimes.
Okay.
But I don't think that Rinna is calculated. I think Rinna acts truly from the heart and from she's impulsive. Where I think Heather Dubrow, which Heather will get mad at me, but this isn't a dig to her.
Heather's not impulsive.
I think she's very calculated, which I have been calculated before too. Right. It's planned. It's not, these are not organic things coming up. And I think that this was a good episode for Rinna because she actually finally removes herself from Erica's anal glands and confronts her about it.
Okay. All right. All right. I see what you're saying. All right. Now it's like the whole history is kind of, well, that's good then. See, now I have different perspective because you've told me the insider truth.
Like,
and she's a fan favorite. Everybody loves her. But like, to me,
they either love her or they hate her. There's like no middle ground.
I'm in the middle because I didn't know, is she being authentic? And that for me is the most important thing. I mean, here we are chatting and you know Tamara, and Tamara's incredibly authentic. And that's what I care the most about people is just like, be you. I don't care if you like who, what you are, just be you.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't figure that out with Rinna. So now that I know that she's authentic, that changes the way that I see the conversation that she had with Erica.
Yeah. She'll just sometimes kind of go off the handle. All right, let's take a little break. We will come back. We'll discuss Dubai and just a little couple things about Watch What Happens Live.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host Vico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we are back.
We're going to talk a little bit of, we're going to do the recap on Dubai, but we're going to go to a little bit of Watch What Happens Live. What is your thoughts on Carolyn Stanberry and her relationship with Sergio?
I think he's obsessed with her. And I think that he's like her little boy toy. And I'm so here for it. Like, I love it.
But do you think that, of course, they're showing her to be a little cold and reserved and all that kind of stuff, but do you think it's that she's cold or she just hasn't had that like gushy feeling towards her before?
So I think she's cold. I just did her podcast a couple weeks ago. And
how was that?
Divorce Not Dead. She was like how she is on TV. I mean, she's direct. And she's very unemotional. And but she says she's both of those things. Honest to God, I think on the podcast I did with her, she was more emotional with me because we connect on the level of we both have twins and we're both single moms. And I think she saw a little bit of herself in me. And so but it wasn't gushy. It was almost like I had to read it.
Yeah, she's always, I mean, yesterday I did like an Insta Q&A and she immediately responded to me and she laughed and it looks like she takes herself very seriously on the show, which I think I looked like the same. She laughs at herself, which I do appreciate as so do I. But I did think there were parts of this episode that I loved, like her daughter calling her a MILF.
And it's so cute. I think they're really in love.
You don't. I do think they're really in love. I think because you had IVF as well, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were parts of me as somebody who's gone through IVF and just some of the things that Sergio wasn't aware of on camera. I mean, granted, my husband, Teddy would have put it.
They're not having a baby. They're not having a baby.
You don't think?
No. No way. She is keeping him happy. She married him. She's giving him what he wants. She's saying, well, they're not having a baby. No way.
You get close.
They're not having a baby.
Yeah. It's like a secret. Don't tell anyone.
See, there's also some additional things that I learned about Dubai, which I got a tongue lashing. So I'm going to tell you guys about my mistake that I made with Tamara last week, because I'm very sorry. Last week when Brooks and Sarah were fighting and production stepped in, I did not know that it was illegal to raise your voice in Dubai. Oh. So I was saying, why did they step in? It wasn't going to get physical. Because to me, that was a standard housewife argument. But that is legal. But this is
They did say that on the show. They did say that. I didn't put it together. But you're right.
But I forgot. But so that's that. But then I was talking to Kyle about it because we were just shooting the shit. And she goes, the best part about when Beverly Hills went to Dubai was, I think it was a Sunday or whatever. And we weren't allowed to drink. And Eileen Davidson was so desperate after we were filming because it was such a shit show that she went in her room and got her mini bar, and they didn't have a bottle opener because you're not allowed to drink on Sundays in Dubai or whatever the rule is. Don't let me have it if I messed up the rule. But so she broke her wine bottle like on the table and broke it and then drank it out of the jagged top.
Oh, come on. At least she poured it in a cup first. That's a great story. So, I get it. Cause when I was in South Africa, when level 5 lockdown hit last year and they took away all alcohol for 2 weeks. And I was like, I was so desperate. I was like, I wrote on my Instagram, somebody bring me wine from their house. And somebody did, they bootlegged it to my hotel.
That's how I felt in the Big Brother house. Like, I was like, if we don't get a morsel of wine, I don't know that I can survive.
Wine?
No, they don't give you alcohol there. By the way, I saw Lamar last night. I haven't seen him since the Big Brother house. Uh-huh. I'm cracking up because I'm with Kyle at dinner and I see Lamar and I'm like, hey, and he goes, hey, Terry. I'm like, I lived with this man. And
my name is Terry. He still doesn't know your name.
Wow.
I live next to you. You took a shit in your bed next to me and you still don't know my name.
Oh God.
I was like, that perfectly sums up who I am. But okay. So Dubai, I'm really trying. I'm putting my best foot forward to love this show.
So it's hard because it's a first season and it's hard with first seasons. And it's, and especially when we're going from Beverly Hills to Dubai, because Beverly Hills, the cast has been on there for a million years. There's real history and real relationships. And here we are in Dubai. We don't, not only do we not know them, it's clear they don't know each other either.
And they hate each other. Not one of them likes each other. I mean, is there anybody that seems like every confessional is another person throwing shade? Normally, like even Beverly Hills, Orange County, Jersey, there's at least a couple that like each other. Every single one. They are just
They're not a cohesive group.
I mean, I think there are parts. Tough. Like, I think Ayan is really funny. I think that Nina is exhausting.
She's kind of like a Vicky kind of.
So and then you know they're all at the wedding, things are a little bit whatever.
Caroline's good. I mean, she's entertaining, you know,
she's at least she's trying her best. My least favorite person though of this entire episode was Caroline's friend who in and was just trying to stir it, and I'm like,
she on Ladies of London?
Oh, was she? The
I don't know. There was somebody was on Ladies of London. I was reading a recap and it said like her friend on Ladies of London. So I wondered if it was like a thirsty moment to like cast for Real Housewives of Dubai or something.
Oh, that would make sense because.
Right.
It was.
But I liked when Chanel called her out and was like, these basic bitches. Because it's true. There is this huge disconnect in the outfits between Caroline and her friends versus the Dubai women. It was Couture versus The Gap.
Right. I mean, I'd probably be closer on The Gap side, but yesterday I did an Insta Q&A thing where I said, listen, Caroline and I are friendly. So somebody said, would you have been upset if somebody wore a wedding dress to your engagement party? I said, I wouldn't have told everybody to wear white. Like if you want to stand out, don't have everybody wear white.
And agreed. And also, I don't think Caroline Stanberry cared about it as much as the show made it look like, because when she actually confronted Chanel about it, she like said her piece and moved on.
Yeah. She kind of laughed about it. And then we kind of get through a lot of stuff going with Sarah, who is the, you know, the resident therapist of the group.
Right.
Without any credentials.
Mm-hmm. And she has an honorary PhD.
we can give it to her. But then she ends up leaving the wedding because she says, I have a cut on my foot. And then she's like, my shoes have put it. And I'm like, you mean a blister? Don't call it a cut. Like somebody knifed you.
Like take off your shoe like everybody else does.
Everybody else does at a wedding. You're getting a blister, take off your shoe.
Yep.
Or put a napkin in it, like a civilized
adult.
Don't
talk about it.
She really bugged me this episode. And then we get into Caroline's discussion with her mom, pretty much everybody, where you get to the basis of the relationship between her and her son. She doesn't want her son to make any mistakes and live through the same mistakes she's made, which I can understand. None of us want our kids to do that, but we also have to let our kids make mistakes. And just because we don't want our kids to make mistakes doesn't mean we can't show them an abundance of love. But I don't think that Sarah really had a reason to kind of come for her the way that she did. But
I agree there. And also I think that it's, as a single mom, it's so much harder for Brooks because she wants somebody to co-parent with. I know this, like everybody does. You want to say like, hey, when my kid talks back to me and I say, go to your room, is that the right thing to do? Or should I do something else? When you don't have a co-parent to bounce that off of, it makes your decision, you makes you question your decisions that much more. And that's what Brooks is living with. She's living with constantly questioning her parenting because she doesn't have a co-parent with her. That's just natural. And so when somebody comes, she's trying her best. And when somebody comes in and criticizes her, she gets all mama bear on them, as anyone would. And it's just, but it's unfair because she wants somebody to give her that feedback, but she doesn't have it.
But especially if you're talking about a stranger, it's one thing if I go to my good friends and I'm like, listen, this is going on with my daughter and blah, blah, blah. Please give me the feedback. Like, for example, my daughter's a competitive equestrian. That's what I was. I can see myself at her competitions start to turn into a nightmare. Like, I have to pull myself back because I see myself in her and this whole competitive disaster comes out. I see it in myself. But I'm able to do that. And then I'm also able to have true friends that can say, Teddy, pull yourself away.
Relax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take a freaking step back. But if it was a stranger, I don't know that I would take it well.
I wonder if Sarah added fuel to that fire because Brooks's friend was kind of going after her. And I wonder if like Sarah just kind of joined in on that.
I think, I think he wanted screen time.
Oh yeah. You're right.
To me, he didn't seem like he really, cause he was like kind of smiling when he did it. And like, if I'm coming for somebody, I'm not like, you're an asshole.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, there's so many fan thoughts. It's, you know, people I think really love Chanel. Caroline needs to bring Ladies of London Caroline back. I don't know. I didn't watch Ladies of London, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I am curious about. Sergio has been in every single scene with Caroline.
Oh, is he controlling?
Is he controlling or does he just love the limelight?
He loves the limelight. He loves the limelight. But so does Caroline.
Caroline does too, but like only one of them's getting paid. If you love the limelight and you're,
you know, like he could.
Right. But let's also be honest. First season housewife, how much are you making?
50.
I know. It's not a lot. We make more in paid posts.
Oh yeah.
So like what? He's so excited for that 25K he's gonna cash in.
Right. Whoa. No, it's the power that comes with it. Okay, Sergio. He has 182,000 followers. So
he had some controversial tweets that he got in trouble for.
Oh, well, he is Brazilian.
I know we're running out of time. We're like, we've been doing this for a while, but we should talk a little bit about the IVF, where he said he thought that if the baby wasn't cooking properly inside of her, they could just move it.
I missed that part. I missed that part. You're kidding me.
No, he thought like at 5 months of the baby, because one of Caroline's friends said, Caroline, when you got pregnant with the twins, you have preeclampsia, blah, blah, blah. I guess IVF isn't legal in Dubai, whatever the rules
surrogacy
are.
Surrogacy isn't legal.
Surrogacy.
I don't know about IVF.
Surrogacy isn't legal. Whatever the situation is. But he's like, well, if, and her friend goes, you almost, you know, died with the twins. You weren't supposed to have more. And he goes, well, if it's not healthy for her, we can just move it over. As if it's like a car rental.
No. Mm-hmm. Wait, what? Oh God. Okay. How did it? Wait, that probably didn't even register with me because that just sounds so ridiculous.
No, that's my point. Is he doing this to sound ridiculous or is this real life?
I feel like it's real life. I'm hoping it's a language barrier though, given the benefit of the doubt. It's just...
yeah. Yeah, so
just move it on over.
That's pretty much that's Dubai. Yeah, we're gonna hope that it works out. But in closing,
anything else that you want to tell anybody from the twats? Thank you for joining. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being an honorary twat, to be honest.
Thank you for having me. I love being an honorary twat.
What kind of juice can you give us in parting?
I mean, gosh, I don't know.
You're getting your tits done, possibly at Kelly Dodd's. Oh, what is your relationship with Kelly Dodd?
Not really. I mean, it's just like, hey, what's up? Like, it's friendly. It's fine. But it's not.
Fine. It's fine. We're thriving. It's fine.
Pretty much, honestly, like considering where we have been, because she could be mean. But no, we're fine. And I'm not really a fighter. But I don't back away either. Yeah, so getting my boobs done soon. I'm excited.
You'll be in Orange County. Well, I hope to see you then. And please come back.
Come visit me. Come visit me at Tamara's house.
I will. We should do the podcast. Yeah, let's do a group pod. I love it. Thank you so much. All
right. Thanks, Teddy.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
Was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.